And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Sade. Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic and young Russell. The gentlemen face each other across the library table, and a sharply competitive game of rummy is in progress.
You've won two and I've won two.
This is indeed an exciting moment.
Hurry up, crank out the ticket.
You seem inclined to go to your doom precipitously. The quicker you get your ticket, the quicker you'll get beat.
I got a feeling I won't get beat.
I admire a man of courage and spirit, but I question the wisdom of plunging in a reckless, headlong, and foolhardy manner into the disastrous abyss of disaster and defeat.
You only half finished your job again, Russell.
Come on, crank out the ticket.
As a young man, I learned a valuable lesson.
You act scared, Gov. You're stalling.
Water glasses left on the pantry shelf every which way and dish towel on the floor.
Greetings, Sadie Penny. Come here and give us a kiss.
Talking to Russell.
I'm pretty busy here, Mom.
Oh, you are, or are you?
I've won two rummy games and so has Gov, and we're just about to play off the tie.
I better make this clear, Mr. Blister. When I get an inclination to speak to my little 14-year-old boy, I'm pretty apt to go ahead and do it, whether he's busy or not. I say you only half finished your job again. You left the water glasses on the pantry shelf every which way, and I found your dish towel on the linoleum beside the gas stove.
I'll go pick it up.
I picked it up. I always pick it up. Every night I pick it up.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
You have earned your mother's displeasure, Russell. Oh, how sad it is when a boy neglects his duties and adopts a life of sluggish ease. History tells us.
Come on, give a card.
Oh, of course, to be sure. To be sure.
See how you stall?
Who are them three fellas in the alley, Russell?
Three fellas in the alley?
By the garbage box.
I never noticed any three fellas.
I saw them when I stepped out on the porch. So dark, though, I couldn't tell who they were.
Probably Razor Scum, Knee Stuffer, and Donahue discussing current events.
No, I'd have recognized any of them.
Miss Harris's rumor is Breepin' Sledge.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you said it was dark. How could you identify
guys? These were strangers.
Guys?
It was dark, yes, but I could see the three figures.
Maybe it was Homer Heck, Lou Webb, Parker Gibbs, and Charlie Foy. Those clever, clever, clever boys from South Nile Center, Illinois.
But the thought did hit me when I stepped out on the back porch and seen the shadows of three men huddled in the alley by the garbage box. Uh-oh, robbers, burglars.
You still haven't dealt the cards, Gov.
Well, by George, the cards. To be sure, to be sure. Thousand pardons, old man.
I think you're scared to play off this tie.
Why, Russell, honey, what a thing to say to Papa.
No, but you do hear a fella skulking around quiet neighborhoods. They watch and see which families goes downtown to the moving picture show, and then they jimmy your cellar
Listen.
Windows. What? What's the matter?
Listen.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, oh, shucks.
Somebody in the kitchen.
Well, I don't think that's particularly funny. Scaring people never did strike me comical. Why, there was a case in Indiana or someplace
you
where...
You didn't say it, eh? In the living room, were they?
Oh, my gosh.
See?
Gov was right.
Why, of course Gov was right. Gov is always right.
In the living room, are they, Sadie?
Yes, Uncle Fletcher. Hello there. Well, he must have slipped in awful quiet.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Russell, honey, you home early?
Yeah.
And Vic on deck, too, by George. How are you, Vic?
First rate, can't complain. Thanks for the inquiry.
Glorious evening, Sadie, honey.
Yeah, trifle cold, isn't it?
Yes, trifle cold, trifle cold. Have to expect that this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Take off your cap and mackinaw, Uncle Fletcher. I bet you can stay a while, can't you?
Not having company, are they?
Not that I know of.
Ted and Ruthie Stumbottom stopping past after a bit.
No, Ted's putting in overtime at the foundry tonight.
How is Ted?
Ted's just fine. Well, listen to me. Ted. Fred, Uncle Fletcher. Mr. Stembottom's name is Fred.
Yes, I know. That you people have no plans at all for this evening?
No, I guess not.
Fine.
You fellas haven't got anything up your sleeve?
No.
I kind of hoped we could play off this tie here in the rummy game. But Gov just sits there with the cards in his hand and refuses to deal.
You stop browbeating me, you big old fat Russell, you.
Yeah.
Uncle Fletcher, take off your cap and mackinaw and give them to Russell to hang up.
It's always Russell.
When I was a pretty girl, 18 years old, back in Winona, Minnesota...
Sadie, Russell, and Vicky, honey, as long as you people have no arrangements planned for this evening, I'll tell you why I stopped past.
No, we don't have any arrangements planned.
I have with me here tonight...
Yes?
I have with me here tonight two friends.
How do you mean?
Roy dejectedly and Pulter Unbleed are outside.
Uh-huh. Well, I bet those are the guys you saw in the alley.
Well, yeah, sure.
Beg pardon, yeah. Vic, honey? Yes, Russell, honey?
Well, that's one on me.
You didn't recognize your own uncle?
No.
Right.
I saw one fella had a cap and mackinaw on.
Right.
Yes, that is one on me.
Fine.
They're outdoors now, Uncle Fletcher?
Fine.
Your friends, they're outside now?
Yes. Roy dejectedly and Pulter Unbleed.
Well, go tell them to come in.
Well, yes, Mercy. It's cold outdoors. Goodness, and they've been out there an hour or better. Russell, go ask Uncle Fletcher's friends.
Hold the phone, Russell, honey. Hold the phone. Stay right where you are. Don't move a step.
Okay.
But your friends will freeze.
Fine. Russell, honey, here's something you can be doing. Take my cap and mackinaw in the hallway and hang them up.
Oh, on the bottom hook of the hall tree, any old place?
On the bottom hook of the hall tree, any old place. I'm sorry I forgot to bring my pocketbook along this evening. I'd give you a copper. What did little Tad say when the grown-ups give him a copper?
Thank you.
Much obliged. Either one fills a bill when grown-ups give a little Tad a copper.
Nobody give this little Tad any copper.
You're welcome, Russell. And don't spend it foolish.
I sure won't.
Uncle Fletcher, your friends will catch cold standing out there.
Not at all.
Well, they will, too.
Roy dejectedly and Pulter Unbleed both have good, stout constitutions.
Better have.
I saw you three fellas standing out in the alley by the garbage box.
Oh, is that right?
I saw you and wondered who you were and mentioned to Vic and Russell. Three fellas were out in the alley by our garbage box.
Russell's a good boy. No, Sade, I wanted to determine whether or not you people had any arrangements planned for this evening before I horned in on you with my friend.
Well, that was thoughtful.
Yes, mighty thoughtful, I should say.
Uncle Fletcher, your pals are sitting out on the front steps.
What?
Uncle Fletcher, your pals are sitting out on the front steps.
Beg pardon, Vic?
Russell just announced that your sidekicks, dejectedly and Unbleed, are sitting out on the front porch.
Yes, I told him to do that. That's all right, Russell, honey.
Want me to go ask your friends in, Uncle Fletcher?
No. Oh. The story on it, Sadie and Vicky, honey, I didn't want to horn in on you people with dejectedly and Unbleed until I knew there was a complete understanding.
Well, nice of you to feel that way.
That fellow's going to freeze to death out there.
That's right, Russell, honey. Hung up my cap and mackinaw in the hallway, are they?
Yeah.
And now you're going to go buy candy with your copper? I remembered, of course, Sadie, honey, you feel grouchy about Roy dejectedly.
Oh, well, ish on my being grouchy with him if he's waiting outdoors in the cold. Forget all about me being grouchy with him. I wouldn't ask my worst enemy to sit outside and shiver.
And Pelter Unbleed, Sadie, you don't even know.
Well, I know of him.
Pelter Unbleed is the janitor and handyman down at the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Yes, go invite him in.
See, Roy dejectedly, you're grouchy at... And Pelter Unbleed's acquaintance you haven't even formed. So, naturally, I hesitated to...
Well, you don't need to hesitate another second. Go get him.
It was my notion, Vic said, Russell, honey, you people might like to hear Roy and Pelter talk over old times in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
They both spent the summer of 1909 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Gives them considerable in common. They never knew each other in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In fact, they never heard of each other up until last week. But they did each spend the summer of 1909 in Pennsylvania. So they got considerable in common.
Well, go tell them to come in the house.
I thought you people might find it interesting to hear a couple of old-timers tell about exciting events in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Particularly exciting events that took place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania during the summer of 1909.
Yeah.
Russell, honey?
Yeah?
Likely you'll do me a favor, are they?
Sure.
Step to the front door, please.
All right.
And take a message to my friends Roy dejectedly and Pelter Unbleed that are sitting on the porch.
All right.
Ask them to kindly step inside.
Sure.
If I'd only remembered to bring my pocketbook along this evening, Russell, honey, I'd give you another copper. What do you say?
Thank you.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
All right, Russell, honey, scoot along. Step to the front door and take a message to my friends, Roy Dejectedly and Pelter Unbleak, that are sitting on the porch. Ask them to kindly step inside.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.